Thanksgiving and allowing us to be able to gather together in your name and to have a roomy space that we can learn your word and we can gather together in your name with confidence and with boldness, with freedom in these three countries. We give you thanks for that. And I pray that you help us to make use of every opportunity and so as to get to know you more and so that we live a life that is worthy of the calling that we have received from you. And I pray that you help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children and also help us to not only able to understand what you have to say to us and help us to be a doer of your word. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So chapter 4, verse 1, Paul encouraged us to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What is a life worthy of the calling you have received? Paul talked about two negative, and Paul talked about two positive. And I want to take a look at what is two negative and what is too positive. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1, live a life worthy of the calling that that you have received. Negatively is 4:14. No longer be an infant. And B, 4:17, no longer live as the Gentile. And then two positive, chapter 5, verse 2. Live a life of love. What is a life of love? It's light. It's 1 Corinthians 13. What is not a lie of love is light, is Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3 all the way to 7. And then D, 5:8, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. God wants us to live a life not only of love, live a life of light. Do you see that? A and B, he explained it in a negative way. C and D, explain it in a positive way. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. A lot of the time, once we become a Christian, we don't want to grow. We want to remain to be like an infant. Paul saying to us, he wants us no longer be infant. He wants us to be mature like an adult. Adult in understanding the will of the Lord. Infant will not understand the will of the Lord. And it's just barely safe. It's very easy to be deceived by people. And secondly, he wants us no longer live as Gentile. Gentile doesn't know God. We know God. And in Christ Jesus, we are new creation. We are no longer Gentile. We no longer infants. That's why we gather together every Tuesday to study the Word of the Lord. And that's how Paul described it in a negative way. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. No longer be infant. No longer live as the Gentile. And then he explained in two positive way. I think, you know, I learned it from Paul. When you teach people, you don't just teach a positive way. You also teach it in a negative way. In a negative way, then we fear God. In a positive way, that we love God. Then we balance our life. We know the boundary. What we can do, what we cannot do. If we remain to be infant, I want to know what's the end result. If I remain to be infant, I will be tossed back and forth. I won't stand firm in my own understanding. Some people say this thing, I believe in it, and other people say another thing, I believe in it. And I'm swayed, you know, I'm moving, you know, I don't know, you know, which one is right way, which one is wrong way. That is what the infant is like. No longer live as the Gentile. What is Gentile like? Gentile is darkened in his own understanding. Gentile doesn't know God. And we know God. We don't want to get back to become a Gentile. What is a true Christian is like is to live a life of love. If we live a life of love, we will bear fruit, the fruit of love. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe starting in verse 4, something like that. Love is patient, love is kind, right? And love does not boast, it's not proud. Love delight in the truth and keep no record of wrong, and love always protect, always believe, and always persevere. And that's the fruit of love. So Paul wants us to live a life of love. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the fruit of love. And Ephesians 5, 3 and 7 is when he talks about love, he's not talking about sexual immorality. So he explained that. So this is a positive way, this is a negative way. And I believe if we teach people in a godly way, always tell people what you can do, what you cannot do. Why you cannot do what you do, explain the reason so that people understand, so that they know. They can live within the boundary. You know what? Like you bought a house, you have a backyard. If your backyard doesn't have any fence and your children playing in the backyard, they don't know they are safe or not. But within the fence, within the boundary, they know they are safe. If they step out, they know it's not safe. I just heard from one of the Christian family just come back from Florida. They told me that within their backyard they want to set up a wood fence, but they are not allowed because at the back is a ravine. And then from time to time, you know, they say that they see the alligator back, you know, swimming in the ravine, you know. At one time, you know, when, because that guy is 6'6", I think 6'2", 6'3", something like that. And the alligator see him, he just go back to the water. But, you know, if you see a baby, he grab you. Because there's no fence. You know, just on both sides, but there's no fence. Close to the ravine, they want the wheel, but to me, it's kind of dangerous. Can you imagine you want to have a sun bath and then sleep, and all of a sudden, you know, it lick your face? Oh, he's alligator. Oh, man. You know, can you imagine that, right? I don't want to lie down in the backyard like that, you know. It's kind of scary, you know. You know what I mean? So Paul always tell either the negative way, a positive way, and explain to you. And then finally he say 5:8, live a life of light. So I just explain that one by one. Okay, let's go to follow the verse chapter 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infant, tossed back and forth by the wave, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And you know what? And there's a gentleman come from a north side, and we invite him to come to our Bible study on Wednesday morning, and also Friday evening at the south side, and also in the north side on Saturday morning, and then Sunday he come to the west side. Now he attend our church 4 times because he didn't attend the previous Baptist church. You know what the other brother and sister say to that brother? Say, don't go to learn anything from Pastor John because he's a heretic, you know. He's saying that you will not be saved unless you are baptized. You know, he's an infant. He tossed back and forth. He's an infant. He said that it's not because he read the scripture. He said that because he hears someone else saying that. You know what I mean? If someone else says something else, if you are an adult, if you are a mature Christian, whatever people say, you don't reject it. There is a possibility that Pastor John is heretic. There is a possibility. Otherwise, why would people say that? But the thing is, if you are mature, if you are not an infant, what will you do? You will check him out. You say, Pastor John, you say what you say. Would you please do me a favor? I don't know much about the Bible. Tell me where you get your basis. What is your foundation of your teaching? Where you get your information from? Could you give me the information? Then I go home and study. You understand what I'm trying to say? Hello? Right? And that's what we should learn. Okay? And that fellow don't even listen to them because the fellow understood. We study the Bible. And when we study the Bible, we don't study the Bible with a closed book. We study the Bible with an open book. I write down the passage. You take a look at that. And then you go home and study that to see whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense. Okay? Paul encourages, no longer be infant. Be mature. And how can I be mature? You got to start serving God. Starting in verse 12 to verse 13. That is what a mature Christian is like. So I write down A1 right under here. No longer be infant. if I no longer be infant, so what does it mean an infant? Infant would not work, okay? And to prepare God's people for works of service. Work of service. You write that A1, work of service. I've never seen any infant serve in the family. Infant be fed with milk. An infant enjoy the work of service from a mature adult. Infant will not serve. But Paul saying that, verse 11, it was Jesus Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor and teacher. The job of a pastor and teacher is not just he himself and do it and get all the reward. No, his job is to prepare God's people. His job is to equip Christians for works of service. My job is to encourage, is to equip, empower, enable, help, prepare God's people for works of service. The moment we start serving God is the moment we no longer be an infant. Okay? And then verse 13. I have to serve God until where? Until the body of Christ may be built up. Built up to what? Not in quantity, but in quality. Until we all reach unity in the faith. Unity in the faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, I want to just dwell upon these 2 points in verse 13. A1 and A2. What is a mature Christian's life? He starts serving God. What a mature Christian's life? Unity in the faith. Unity in the faith, that means you know what you believe. You know what you believe. In the faith. In faith in what? One. A tiny one. And tiny two. Unity in the faith. Unity in the faith and unity in the knowledge. Okay, I should do it like this. Sorry. Unity. One, in the faith. Two, in the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, because I heard it from my wife saying that another Christian from a Baptist church saying that Pastor John is heretic. That means the pastor is saying that. So let us study the word baptism, okay? Just based upon your own understanding first, and then let's study it based upon the word of God. Do you think, based upon your own understanding, now you've been Christian for a while already, I hope that you are not an infant anymore. Based upon your own understanding, do you think Jesus Christ wants the believer to be baptized? Or Jesus Christ wants the believer to do whatever they like? Donald? Why would Jesus Christ want you to be baptized? Because isn't it the pastor telling us that the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not by work. This not by work, so that no one can boast. This not from yourself. Salvation is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. That means if it's salvation is a gift of God, it's not by work. And they can't. Baptism is a work. I don't count baptism. It's a work. I count baptism. It's a faith. That means we are not unity in the faith. They believe something else, and I believe another things. Cannot be both of them are right. Either one is right. Am I right? Now, I'm then without just looking at the Bible, I just think, if the thing that Jesus is teaching is important, and one thing I do know, Jesus not only teach with word, he will teach with his action. And I'm going to ask myself, did Jesus Christ himself baptize? You know, I will ask that. You know, like if thing is not important, he won't do it. Because whatever he do, he set example for us to follow. Does it make sense? Okay, you're going to say that. So according to Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus said, let it be so. I want to be baptized by you, John the Baptist. Okay? And John the Baptist wanted to stop him. Say, I'm supposed to be baptized by you. Now you come to me. You want to be baptized by me. You know? I'm a sinner. You know? You are God. But then Jesus said, let it be so. For we all Christians should do that. Right? And then, well, just study the word baptism. Take a look at Matthew 3:15. Did Jesus baptize in the river of Jordan? Could someone read that to me? Donald, could you read that? Matthew 3:15? You speak louder, please. It's proper for us to do it. It's the right thing for us to do as a Christian. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's the right thing for us to do for a Christian. Okay? Now, could you take a look at 3:3 and 3:5 of Gospel of John? What did Jesus say? Truly, truly, I say to you. Why would Jesus Christ say, truly, truly, I say to you? He should have said, I tell you the truth. Or I tell you. This is what I tell you. He could do that. But a lot of people, they don't believe in what Jesus is saying. They don't believe in Jesus' statement. So that's why, truly, truly, I say to you. That means, I tell you the fact. Believe in me, don't believe in all other men. Okay? Truly, truly, I say to you. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again, right? You need to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus, the old man, asked Jesus, I'm old now. My mother's not around. How can I enter my mother's womb the second time to be born again? He thought that born again is through his mother. He didn't know that born again is through baptism, water baptism, and spirit baptism. So that's why he say, truly, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Now, do you believe in the pastor saying or you believe in Jesus saying? Now, that's the whole point, you know. Hey, are you infant or are you mature? You know what? If Pastor John teaches you something is not from the Bible, he is truly heretics. If he's teaching you something is from the Bible and people don't talk about that, who is heretic? They are heretic. They only tell you the half truth. they don't tell you the whole thing. You understand? Do you understand? Take a look at the consequences for those who refuse to be baptized and what it is like. Luke chapter 7, verse 29 to 30. There are two groups of people. One are sinner, like the prostitute, sinner like tax collector. And because prostitute and tax collector, they believe in what the John the Baptist has said, and they baptized by John the Baptist. And what happened? Whatever John the Baptist say about Jesus, they believe it, and they understand. And what about those Pharisee, teacher of the law? They are proud men. They refuse to be baptized. They refuse to be baptized by John the Baptist. And they don't understand the scripture. They reject the righteousness of God. I want you to write it down right beside 7, 29 to 30. You write down Matthew 3:15. What did Jesus say? It is proper for us to do to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. The Pharisee and teacher of the law, they refuse to be baptized. They don't understand what Jesus is saying. Why? Because they refuse to be baptized. If you're not born again, you're not God's son, you're not God's child, you're not God's children, you're not God's son, you don't understand his word. You reject God. You need to be baptized first. You need to be born again first. Then you start understand God's word. Could someone read that to me? First of all, Emily, Gospel of John 3:33-35. And Carl, Luke 7:29-30. Read it out loud so that everybody can hear that. So in other words, born again is very, very important, right? So that's why you see from time to time, you don't ask people, are you a Christian? Because the name, the word Christian, the word, even Mormon used to call themselves to be Christian. Jehovah Witness called themselves Christian. And Catholic called themselves Christian. And Protestant, we call ourselves Christian too. The word Christian has already been abused by a lot of people. People do not understand what it means by Christian already. So you ask your friend, if you ask your children, are you born again? If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And 3:5, how can I be born again? Born again is not from my mother womb. Born again from where? From two things. Water baptism and spirit baptism. Read that 3:5.
John 3:5. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the spirit.
Do you understand now? Okay. Now, unfortunately, a lot of so-called PhD, they say that water does not stand for baptism. He said, that, but that's not what Jesus said. He said that water stands for the word of God, because the word of God has the cleansing power. If that water, listen to me, I pray that you are not an infant. I pray that you use your mind, sound mind, and think about that together with me.
if this water stands for the Word of God, where did the commentaries get his information? The commentary get his information. Water stands for the Word of God. Is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. To make her holy, to make the church holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Based upon Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, they say, the PhD said, the well-educated man said, water stands for the Word of God. So, let's check him out to see what he says is true or not. Check him out. Take a look, okay? You write that down. Born again equal to, I say equal to what? Water baptism plus Spirit baptism. They say water baptism. No, it's not water. Water doesn't mean water baptism. They say water is the Word of God. Now listen to me very carefully. If this interpretation is correct, if this is what, now listen to me, if this is what Peter understands, if this is what the 12 apostles understand, how come the 12 apostles start baptizing people with water? Take a look of Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 20. What did they do? After they hear 3:3, 3:5, what do they do? 3:3, 3:5. After the apostle heard about that, in verse 22, after they heard that, Jesus and his disciple went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. That means they start baptizing people, right? Am I right? That means in those days, 2,000 years ago, the 12 apostles heard the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, and then they found out the importance of baptism. They start baptizing believers. Am I right? And now, if you just look at chapter 3, verse 20, you misunderstood that. You think, oh, Jesus, together with 12 apostles, start baptizing people. But the fact of the matter is not. You write the word right beside 3:20, you write chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1 and verse 2. 4, 1 and 2. Gospel of John. The Pharisee heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. John is not Apostle John. John is John the Baptist. Verse 2. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciple. So, who start baptizing people? Not Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 22, look like it's Jesus together with his 12 apostles. And then later on, John say, no, it is not Jesus. What did Jesus baptize us with? Holy Spirit. But the 12 apostles baptizing us with water. You understand? The apostle understood that 2,000 years ago. Now we Christians do not understand that. Okay. The Old Testament tells us that if it's just one testimony, don't believe in it. If there's two or more testimony, then you better believe in it. I want you to turn to I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. After the 12 apostles, after the disciple preached the gospel, in conclusion, what do they say? Chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God has made this Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the one that you don't think he is the Lord. You don't think he is the Christ. So that's why you crucify him. But God made him both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostle, Brother, what shall we do? We make the mistake. How can we fix it? And then verse 38. Peter replied, Repent and be what? And be baptized. Why would he say repent and be baptized? Because you know if you baptize, you'll be what? You'll be born again. If you're born again, what happened? You'll be saved. Oh, amazing. You know, he just heard the sermon. It's the first sermon for them to hear. And then Peter wants them to be baptized. They don't need to go through 6 months of baptismal class. Every one of you, no exception. Baptized, be baptized. Every one of you be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for the gift, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that means you baptism with Holy Spirit. You not only water baptism, you have spirit baptism. Am I right? But do they believe? No, not everyone believe. Keep reading it, 39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far, far off, that even for Gentiles. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Take a look, call. Live a life worthy of the calling. God not only called Jews, God called those who are far away, called those who are near. And then, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And then verse 40, with many other words, he warned them. And he plead with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Their teacher are corrupted. Their rabbi are corrupted. They don't think baptism is that important. They're corrupted. And Peter say to them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Do not follow their teaching. Follow what Peter has said. Verse 41, those who accept his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. If born again is through water and spirit, that water, if that water means the word of God, Peter should not emphasize, say, today you baptize. Because they hear the word of God already. They hear the word of God, they hear the sermon, right? The Jesus Christ that you crucify, the Lord has made him Lord and Christ already. They heard the word. They don't need to be baptized. Why Peter encouraged them to be baptized? That means Peter understanding is different from the past understanding in today's days. Am I right? So who should you follow? You follow Peter teaching? The biblical teaching, or you follow the pastor teaching in today's day? Christopher? You follow Peter? Oh, yes, my guy. I follow Peter too. That is what an infant is like. Infant is tossed back and forth, right? Some people say this thing, and then people say that thing, and they, oh, I raise my hand, I give up. Oh, you know, you Christian, you know, you pastor, not in conformity of your own understanding. I give up, I'm not going to go to a church. If you are mature, you're going to base upon the biblical understanding, you make your own decision. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? From time to time, when you grow up, your parents' teaching will contradict to your friend's teaching. What your friend said to you, oh, take marijuana is good. Get drunk is good. Your mother say, no, don't get drunk, don't smoke. They say, oh, I give up. My good friend say yes, and you say no. I don't know what to say. And Pastor John say, don't go on Sunday to a ski trip. And your friends say, what? Sunday is the best time, man. You heard that, Emily? Huh? So, I tell you one thing. Whatever the pastor teaching, if what he taught you contradict what the Bible say, you say, sorry, I cannot follow you. You understand? It's not because he's father. It's not because he's rabbi. It's not because he's pastor. I tell you one thing. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus say, don't be called. Don't let someone call you father. But the Catholic Church, is the Catholic Church asking you to say, call me father, right? 神父, Father John. No, we only have one earthly father. That is your own father. We have another heavenly father. There's only one father. Don't call any man father. And yet there's a lot of Christian, so-called Christian from Catholic. They call their pastor father. Am I right? No, am I right? Yes or no? You ask him, what should I call you? They say, if his name is James, call me Father James. Right? They say that. They want you to call him Father. But Jesus say, don't call anyone Father. So, who should you follow? I follow Jesus. And then in the Jewish, in the New York, a lot of a rabbi teacher, and you ask him, how do I call you? He say, call me rabbi. And Jesus say, don't call any person rabbi. There's only one rabbi. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the true teacher. And then, in Christian church, I talk about Catholic, call themselves father. Jewish, call themselves rabbi. I talk about Christian. Christian church, they call themselves what? Leader. But Jesus say, don't call yourself leader. There's only one leader, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Where does it say? Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Brother and sister, I tell you one thing. If you read the scripture, you find out a lot of people do things, contradict what the Bible is teaching. But are you going to still following them? It's up to you. You make the decision, okay? Matthew chapter 23. Verse 8. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one teacher. The translation is master, but original is teacher. Okay? You are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one teacher. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are all brothers and sisters. Verse 9. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. And a lot of Catholic priests You ask him, how should I call you? Father. Father so-and-so. Verse 10. Nor are you to be called teacher. The word teacher is supposed to be leaders. For you have one leader, the Christ. Protestant church, they call themselves leader. Catholic church call themselves father. Jewish church call themselves, Jewish synagogue call themselves what? Rabbi. You understand? They take the title that belongs to Jesus Christ. They take the title that belongs to God. It's amazing, eh? You know, if you're a Catholic believer, and we all have the same Bible, we all have the same Bible, but different version, they say the same thing too. You know, you read the Bible and then you call Father. You ask me to call you Father, but the Bible say, let no one call you Father. And I just want to see his reaction. You know what I mean? I want to see his explanation. How is he going to explain to me? Right? Brother and sister, no longer be infant. Okay? Infant cannot discern good from bad. Cannot distinguish. Has no understanding of that. There's tossed back and forth. Blown by the wind here and there. Sometimes here, sometimes there. Depends where my friend are. Right, Emily? Don't be like that. I'm just giving you a glimpse of it. Okay? In the Bible, a lot of this kind of stuff. If you study carefully, you find out there's something wrong with Catholic Church. There's something wrong with a Jewish synagogue. There's something wrong with Protestant Church, like we Evangelical Church. Because they do something contradict what the Bible says. And they don't know. They don't know. They feel very honored to be called Father. But in fact, he's not the Father. They feel very honored to be called leader, but he's not leader. They feel very honored to be called rabbi, but he's not rabbi because he doesn't know the scripture. Okay, go back to Ephesians. I want to stop here first regarding baptism. Let's say we are against the wave. We are against every wind of teaching from other churches. Now I want to stop here. If you don't write down these kind of Bible verses that I taught you today, in the future, you bring your children to go to the Protestant church, very likely you hear the same thing. Believing in Jesus Christ means everything. You don't need to be baptized. And what would you say to them? If your children say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I call myself born again, but I don't want to be baptized. So what would you say, Joyce? Oh, you know Mark 16:16. Oh, cool. Believe and is baptized, you'll be saved. Oh, cool. And that's Esther, my daughter. I challenged my daughter. My daughter said to me, Daddy, I want you to baptize me. I said, why should I baptize you? He said that I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. You know? Oh, cool, cool. That's good. What else? One testimony is not good enough. The Old Testament say you have to believe in two or more testimony. What would you say to your children? John 3:3 and 3:5. You call yourself born again. Did you born again through water baptism and spirit baptism? You ask them, right? If they are well-versed, if they read a lot of commentary, that water, they say, a lot of scholars, so-called scholars, they say that water means the word of God. You hear the word of God, you're born again already. Then what would you say? If the water stands for the word of God, in the book of Acts chapter 2, they heard the word of God already through Peter. They're born again already. Why needed to be baptized? Why needed to be repent and be baptized? That means if Peter wants them to be baptized, I mean the water means baptism, right? It's not the word of God. If you know one Bible verse, then you would challenge me. I know that. 1 Peter 1, 3. 1 Peter 1, 23. We are born again. By what? We are born again by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You write down 1:3. Born again equal Jesus resurrection. That's 1:3. And then 1:23. Born again. Write down the living word. The living word gives you the born again. Edda, could you read that 1:3? 1 Peter 1:3? Listen to what Edda reading carefully, okay? See whether you see what I see. 1:3 means born again equal to Jesus' resurrection.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
He gave us a new hope. Born with a new hope, right? I say that born again. Through what? Jesus' resurrection. So how is that related to that is the insight that Peter has from where? From John 3:3 and 3:5. He's using different wording to explain the same thing. That's new insight. That's very good. He's a good pastor. You know, he heard something. He used different wording to explain the same thing. You know, like we Chinese, we know how to cook Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you can cook chicken with barbecue sauce. You can cook chicken with... I went to New York, there's a lady cooked chicken with what? Coffee bean. Ah! Tastes so good. Have you ever eaten that? Tastes very good. Very, very good. But the fact of the matter is same chicken. She understood how to cook it in a new way. But the same chicken. Not just Kentucky Fried Chicken. Coffee chicken. I know you never ate that, right? Peter say, we born with a new hope. give us new birth, born with a new hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected, no one can be born again. And then born again, 1:23, you read that? 1:3 and 1:23.
For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God.
So I want to erase this. I want to explain it in here, okay? Read that one more time. So, Peter say, we are born again through what? Through the living word. Born again equal living word. Living word give us born again. Then how can we explain that together with John 3:3 and 3:5? 3:3, this is 1 Peter 1:23. Born again is water baptism plus spirit baptism. That is John 3:5. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you is a living word. What the living word say? You can only be born again through water and spirit. Together is living word. Does it make sense? So the water is not the living word. Based upon Ephesians 5:26, water is the word of God. No question about that. But the fact of the matter is, when John, Apostle John, writes 3:3, 3:5, how would other Christians know that water means the word? Nobody will know. Besides, John 3:22. If the water means the word of God, why would the apostle start baptizing people with water? Why would Gospel of John 4:1-2, he say, Jesus did not baptize people with water, but his disciple. Right? I tell you one more thing. Apostle John, he is an excellent expositor. He explains word very clearly. He never tried to confuse people. If things that people don't understand, he has parentheses and explain it. Let me prove it to you. Go to Gospel of John chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7. I'm sorry, it's not 7. Go back. Chapter, let me see.
I'll go back to 7. Okay, I'm sorry. 7? 7:37. To 39. Joyce, could you read that?
On the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Verse 38, whoever believed in Jesus Christ, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. No one will know what that stream of living water means unless Apostle John explained it. Verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit. Stream of living water means the Spirit. Then you say, wow, Pastor John, what about 3:3 and 3:5? You say, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and Spirit. What about this water? Is this a stream of living water? Can it be Spirit? No, I say no, because it will be meaningless. You're born again with Spirit and Spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say? You don't need to repeat that. Right? If water means water, then he didn't have to say water means water. Water means water, then you don't need to explain that. If water means Spirit, then you need to explain that. You understand? Children, do I make myself clear? Do I? Donald, do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Daniel, do you agree?
No.
So what happened if people say Pastor John is heretic? You say, oh, none of my business. Well, maybe he's heretic too, you know? You know what I mean? So what would you say? Or teachings out of the Bible. All right. Okay. It's amazing, eh? It is amazing. Brother and sister, I want you to draw on what I told you today. I want to finish it today. No longer be infant, so that you won't be tossed back and forth, blown here and there. Does it make sense? Stand firm in your faith. Unity in the faith, unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. You got to know what you got to know what you believe. All right? Children? All right? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us. Give us sound mind. We don't want to remain to be infant anymore. We want to be grown into maturity and fully understand what you have to say to us. I pray that you give us a spirit of revelation and wisdom so that we know you better, not just superficially, and know you deeper and deeper so that we stand in a solid ground, and help us to be built up in the foundation of the apostle and prophet. Build our faith upon our most holy faith on the Word of God. If we know your Word, we will be able to stand firm. If we know your Word, we will fight a good fight. If we know your Word, we will bring people into the kingdom of God. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.